Let's start with Mitra. What story would you like to discuss first?
Well, I'll focus on this article I was telling you about, which focuses on, you know, the new Maktoub and the potential that the internet and e-commerce industry provides to entrepreneurs in the region. And you mentioned before, you know, unemployment rate in the region.
Yeah.
You know, reaching 28%. But at the same time, you have, you know, a market of 350 million people in the region, which offers tremendous opportunities for people who have entrepreneurial skills and who want to develop their company. And the article actually talked about how Hussam Khoury and Sami Toucan created Maktoub in 98, sold it to Yahoo
it's
in
an incredible
2009.
Success story, isn't it? Yeah.
And now, you know, Sami Toucan is at the head of the Jabar Internet Group that has, I think, up to 10 IT blogs and companies that focus on e-commerce. And I think it's interesting to see that although e-commerce levels, internet penetration levels are still low in the region, it's growing. It offers a lot of potential. I read yesterday, I think on Wamda, that a new crowdfunding site was born in the region, a bit, you know, replicating what Kickstarter does at the global level, and helping people, especially in the creative industries, filmmakers,
so
designers.
Aflamna.
Aflamna, yeah. Exactly, which means our film. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to see that, you know, people are more and more relying on themselves or on the community or on the collaborative process to make their business grow. I think, you know, it's the Arab Spring and a lot of, you know, changes of governments in the region show that, you know, you don't rely on governments anymore.
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I think you're beginning to see the big issue of our times is the web. How it develops and how it's managed. And you've seen over the last 12 months, you're seeing increasing attention by corporations to try and compress what it can do, which is a very interesting point when the entrepreneurship question is coming and the balance between the big corporations with the power and the startups who don't and who owns intellectual property. There's a huge issues going on. I mean, Samsung thing is just the tip of the iceberg. The second thing is, of course, the role of the state. And if you have a look at today at the papers, you can see that there's an attempt being made to establish some kind of greater control. Tim Berners-Lee, who claims to be the inventor of the web, he's a piece in The Guardian today in which he denounces what he sees as growing attempts by the state to regulate the web. And the thing that's been suggested, and this is the unholy alliance potentially between the state and business, because the state hasn't got the capacity to do it, so it'll contract out monitoring to the private sector, so that the private sector will have the obligation to keep information about what's going on the web, and then passing it to the state. These two issues, I think, are going to be increasingly important for everybody. And I love the thrill in your voice when you talk about the opportunities for the web, but actually we were talking about education, for example. I mean, the web at present is this wonderful free source of great information, but of course it challenges existing education institutions.
Of course,
you can imagine a situation where people wouldn't have to pay $30,000 or $40,000 a year for a university degree. They could use the web to get all the information for a fraction of that amount.
So do you think that these large institutions are feeling threatened by the possibility of
and threat. I think you see the corporations, and understandably being driven by profit, they can see the migration of people's activities in practically everything they're doing, from communicating with each other, getting information, buying and selling, going in the web rather than through other institutions. They're not going through shops anymore, they're going
direct,
online.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So the opportunity from a business point of view is, how do we monetize that shift in traffic? That's one. And the second part of it is, how do we stop losing our market share? So even migrating from the physical into the virtual, and how new players take place. So I think you're seeing a growing attention. Understandably, companies want to make money on it. And the great drive in I think in business is to try and find ways of charging, making people pay for what now is at present free. So this is and a lot of people coming up with lots of different ideas on this. And I was reading something about by the government kind of mandating contracting out in different ways the private sector, to the private sector in turn will only be motivated if they can charge.
But the problem is, I mean, that would be extremely difficult to do. I mean, in terms of media,
well, why do you say that?
To charge people for using the net.
Well, if they can't, you can already see that there's lots of things you can't do on the net. I mean, you've got things like payment, and we do credit card payments and other things which are highly secure. So you have a capacity, technical capacity, to block access. It's there. So what happens? You press the key, no access. Access if you pay a certain amount of money.
It is, well, yeah. Of course, if that's what the likes of sort of Visa or the banks are would want to do, then...
Well, why wouldn't they want to do that?
To make more money. Yeah.
I mean, why should
you put it that way?
No,
I was thinking more about media and the fact that you know, we're seeing should media be free online? You know, as opposed to it being free, because people are shifting away, of course, from the recognized news sources.
Free online media, then you get The Guardian, which is fantastic.
Yes.
But
then
this is $44 million dollar loss a year, unsustainable.
Yeah,
and then you.
So
have
we are going to. There's a great push towards this wonderful honeymoon period we've had, which is almost a fantasy, isn't it? I mean, it's just amazing. This free.
It is amazing.
Thing.
It is, but you're absolutely
you
right.
You go on, you sit there for hours and hours, and it's free. It's so contrary to the zeitgeist, isn't it? Where the economic theory is that if it doesn't have a price attached to it, then there's something wrong. Mm. You have to charge for it and privatise it and charge it for everything, even pollution. There should be a price on it. So I think that this window of freedom is going to close down.
Do you really?
I think in 10 years' time, we will just pay $1 or $2 for every.
What about the masses? Sort of, do you think that there's enough power in the people to rally against it in some ways? Because I mean, it is obviously international. Everyone uses.
Overwhelming majority of people just do what they're told.
Do you think that it was pretty much powerless?
More or less. They grumble and they say, "Oh well."
What's the dollar here, what's the pound there sort of scenario?
Well,
I don't
know
what I'm paying for it. And what's the option if they say?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, looking at the media specifically.
I think it would destroy what the web is. I think it would just destroy the whole thing of what it means, the whole concept of it being free for all. I think there'd be massive, I don't know in what terms repercussions, but... not necessarily for ours, who obviously come from the West, in the sense that, you know... perhaps, you know, we're from developed countries, we do have the money and the resources possibly to pay for these sorts of things, but I think it would have massive ramifications on those who can't and don't.
Well, they're excluded anyway, aren't they? Because they don't have access to the technology, the terminals and the mobiles.
Well,
so
growing,
that excludes
though.
The close to the majority of the population of the planet anyway. They're not on this anyway, and they are from a business proposition point of view not that interesting either, because they don't have the money to spend. I think the people who will actually, I mean, it's us. Mm. We're the prime target, because we've got we can afford to pay, I don't know, $3 for a cup of milky coffee, can't we?
It's just propagating that whole idea, the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer, because they don't have access to the possibilities of education, of, you know, being an entrepreneur. You don't have access to this, and this. And I just think it's certainly not a free market.
I see it from other point of view. I mean, looking at, you know, examples like the Khan Academy, you know, those classes that are
online. Yeah.
And that have, you know, helped a lot of kids around the world to access free education and be, you know, able to learn about math with you know, which some of them don't have an opportunity to go to school or a chance to go to school. So I think it's becoming more globalized. I think the interesting thing to look at in our region is the fact that it's also Arabized. Mm. You know, the fact that Arabic content is becoming more and more important. That I don't think you see any blog or website emerging from the region that doesn't offer the two languages. Mm. And that's another trend that I think is particularly interesting to look at. Does the region have the capacity to develop everything in Arabic?
Does it really need to either? There is a massive growth. We spoke just yesterday, actually, a little bit about...
Well, that goes to another question, Siobhan. It absolutely has to develop
it
vernacular.
It has to, yeah.
It has to develop vernacular.
And
then
that
raises the issue of control, then becomes even more...
Exactly.
We spoke briefly with this gentleman in Jordan, where Jordan, I think, has very much, I mean, in fact, I think Toucan, he's Jordanian, and there's been a big surge in particularly the technology web-based industries in Jordan, because they've had the freedom to be able to grow there, you know, and to be able to do that. And apparently there was a big blackout just recently in Jordan. I don't know if you heard of that.
Yeah, about a week ago.
Yeah, and they, because they're apparently they're developing or planning to implement a new media law, which will be very restrictive.
Absolutely.
And will also be targeting online, which I suppose in some ways got away with a lot more than it would have, you know, the actual print versions. And this could be
it's a global trend. It's the WikiLeaks all the way through. I mean, the leaders on this actually are America and Britain, in trying to control what's going online. And it's what we're seeing in the region is just a natural extension of what is happening elsewhere.
Interesting text come through from one of our listeners. Ian says, if a viable business model can be found for radio for to be free and for a long time, why not the internet? Well, it's not free. It's free for you people to listen to, but that's only because we are commercial. We are a commercial radio station. If we didn't have commercials on this, it's not the BBC, then we wouldn't exist.
Yeah, and then the question has to be asked is whether the commerciality actually affects the content.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent? Inevitably, you know, I'm in the media business, and if you are pursuing the advertising buck, then you have to follow the direction that the sources of advertising want you to go.
Yes, exactly.
So it does, it's not entirely media. It will have consequences. I can see the argument. Why not an internet base with finance in the same way? But it will be different. It will be different to the internet that we have now.
But I think if we're seeing, so we must go to a news break. This is, there's a couple of different threads of obviously discussion going on there. One, you know, should it be free for users? I think if again a discussion we had yesterday about the lack of or the terrible adverts on online, and the fact that I mean traditionally it's obviously it's print, that's where the advertisers go, so that's particularly where
I don't mind the terrible advertising. The issue, which I think for most of us is a bit more of a concern, is the direction that Facebook and Google are going, which is to capture all your information,
right? So the aggregators,
and so you don't even know it's going on. So that a lot of your personal attributes are being secretly captured and will be used in evidence.
That's quite worrying, isn't it?
Do you know you've got a profile? Do you know that you have a Google profile?
It's the least. Coming from the media industry and from a news background, the idea that someone somewhere is monitoring what I'm saying and doing is the least surprising thing on the planet.
We're going to take a quick break.